You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are listening to the E2C Network, where the Auburn family speaks.
Where you go, Auburn fans? Welcome to No Huddle, your source for Auburn football news and discussion, part of the E2C Network. I'm AJ Richardson, and I'm also here with Jared Davis. Fall camp is here. We've got now gone through, I think, 8 practices and a scrimmage. It's been a lot of fun stuff to be hearing about. And it's just like a breath of fresh air. You know, we went through the whole summer of not hearing a whole lot, minus, you know, that one bad thing that happened to TJ. So, you know, whatever. We're moving past that, obviously. And now we're into fall camp. Jared, how you doing?
Starting to feel like Allen Iverson, the old practice. We're talking about practice. I'm ready to start talking about games. That's what I want to talk about. But yeah, as of right, a lot of the fan base that's too young is like, what's he talking about? Y'all can YouTube that, Allen Iverson. But yeah, I'm ready to start talking about games. And, you know, we don't get a lot out of what we're, you know, we're seeing people who are, we're getting viewpoints from people that watch 20 minutes of practice. And, you know, stories are all over the place. So I don't know what to believe or think. And let's just let's start playing where we can all see what's happening and make our own opinion is what I want to get to.
Right. And I think didn't you hear, I think they're going to have an open practice. It's kind of like Auburn's fan day thing. It's like a week before. So I guess all fans will get to see a little bit of it. Now, will they show anything? It's probably like a day. It's not like you really glean a whole lot from it, but you're probably watching, you know, the players that might be the starters. So like you might gain a little bit more from that than a, you know, 20 minute media viewing, which, you know, that's kind of, yeah, if we're being honest, those are planned times where they don't do a whole lot. They just, you know, have a few passes and say, all right, do this, you know, run this. And yeah, that's kind of the set thing. So I think that'll be kind of exciting for the fans to see. But yeah, there's a handful of fall camp storylines that I've been seeing. Main one that I think we're going to probably sit on for a little bit is the quarterback battle. But also, Jared, I think I've been jumping on the hype train for Camden Brown. Are you on too?
Yeah, I'm ready to build a statue for him out in front of the stadium. I just tell me when and where. No, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where everybody there every year there's a spring, summer, fall camp hero that you never hear about during the season, right? Happens every year. But this guy keeps showing up every practice. Like it's not just one, it wasn't once. It was, and I mean, he is the second name out of Harsin's mouth a lot of times at the, you know, when he's given a press conference. And it's just crazy. I mean, the guy's huge. I may have mentioned it. It was in my brain if I didn't. I think I mentioned that when we got him that I thought he could have a potential because he's just so big.
Yeah.
You know, he was 3-star, so I don't really know why that is. But he also played at one of the more difficult high schools in the country, I think. So a lot of talent around him. Maybe he didn't get, you know, all the balls thrown to him. But end of the day, he keeps showing up on player of the day, explosive player, all that. That's not by accident. He keeps showing up. There's got to be something there to it from how I view it. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, I take it with a grain of salt because I've seen where one player has this great, you know, practice or scrimmage, and then they're like, you know, third string at that point. And you're like, okay, so like, why did I get all excited about this guy? But this guy legitimately seems to be just coming back and over and over. Like you keep hearing about it. And it's not just from, you know, Harsin, and it's not from the beat reporters. It's sometimes even from like the players. And you're like, that's pretty cool. Like they're seeing a freshman come in and just, you know, own up and just be a leader, even as a freshman. And being a leader as a freshman, a lot of times just means you know, giving 100% effort and being there doing your job. And that's for him, that's what he's doing. And I'm excited to see what he actually does on a Saturday under the lights. And guess what? Hey, we get five straight of those in Jordan Hare. So we're about to get to see the true Camden Brown, which I'm really, really excited about.
So for people that don't know much about him, first off, go try to find videos and image of him, but he's kind of a Seth Williams body, maybe even a little bigger. And, you know, the hope is, and the talk is, he may actually have a little separation speed as well. And I love Seth, but every catch Seth made, he was covered, right? And he made them. Yeah. But, you know, if this guy can do that and have separation, he could be the real deal. I mean, he's got the God-given aspect of it. And keep in mind, he wasn't here in the spring. He just came in the summer. Like, he didn't make it. He wasn't at the early camp. He didn't enroll early.
Right.
So for him to pick up, he literally went from, you know, when they were splitting the veterans and first and second team beginning morning practice and then the rookies and younger guys afternoon, he was only in that rookies and younger guys one day.
Yeah.
And then boom, he moved up to the veterans. So yeah, I'm excited, if you can't tell.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. Well, and it's also, I think this is kind of plays into a bigger storyline that I think should encourage Auburn fans is I'm just thinking about the wide receiver room, you know, last year compared to this year. And how many I was just thinking of, you know, last year when we were very depleted on wide receivers, I could probably name like five receivers, and that's including tight ends. You know, anybody who catches the ball, I could really only think of like five guys, maybe six, if you include like a Tank Bigsby or something out of the backfield or Jarquez, something like that. But now, like I was going through it, there's legitimately eight, maybe even nine guys that are wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs that can be legitimate pass catchers at any given game. And so that's just a lot of options there that I think could be pretty beneficial when you're trying to spread out the ball, which from what we've kind of seen is kind of, you know, what Harsin likes to do. He doesn't always like to go to, you know, that one playmaker. So I'm excited about that. Something else that I think is another kind of bigger storyline is the offensive line. You know, think back to even last year. I think the offensive line improved some last year, but still had some pretty big gaping holes. And you know, last year, think about this time last year. We were in fall camp, and they were still doing like full on, like it seemed like five new guys on offensive line and then another five guys. And like, there wasn't a whole lot of like, oh, we're for sure, we know these guys are going to be off offensive line. Well, guess what? This year we have four out of the five offensive linemen coming back. So not only is that good, but it seems like this offensive line is getting the push that they need, opening up the holes. They're doing what they're supposed to. And I think that's a positive encouragement. Now, will that translate from the practice field to the game? It's yet to be seen, but I am optimistic about that. And I've only been hearing great things about this offensive line. Wasn't there somebody else that maybe a former player or something talked about the offensive line?
Yeah, I heard somewhere, and again, none of this can be verified, but I heard that there was a former offensive lineman at the scrimmage, and word got out from what he said. He said that essentially this group is way better than they were last year at this time. So That's pretty promising, especially with it being an O lineman that knows what to look for.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? It could have, I probably shouldn't say this, but it could have been Cole Kublik. I mean, he's part of Auburn, you know,
it's
he
possible.
Could have been down there watching. So, and if it is, he definitely knows football. I do not know that it was him at all, but I'm just thinking of who would have been there. But that person apparently said that they are way better. And, you know, they ran 1v1s at practice.
Right.
And the other number one, we know they drove down and scored a couple of times, but they said that there were several times there were very nice holes for the running back to run through. And we didn't create that at all last year, in my opinion.
There were times I felt like, thank goodness Tank Bigsby has, you know, some sort of like, kind of reminds me of like Ant-Man, where like there doesn't look like a spot and then he like shrinks and then he like cuts through the hole and then he like gets big again and you're like, feels like that.
Yeah, it really does. So that's promising if that's, you know, again, one person's opinion, but that, you know, we haven't heard that about our offensive line in 6 years. So yeah.
I mean, it's encouraging. I'm still trying to like temper my expectations with the offensive line because it is 4 out of the 5 guys. And I think there's something to be said for, you know, that chemistry that was already there. And now they have to, you know, do that again for this year. But I think I don't know. I'm optimistic about it. All right, Jared, let's get into kind of the meat of, you know, this big storyline around quarterbacks. Because there's a lot to, you know, pick apart here. So the top quarterbacks right now, it seems like TJ Finley, Zach Calzada, Robbie Ashford. And for most people, it seems to be kind of they're leaning towards TJ Finley and Zach Calzada. Though Robbie Ashford has had his chances with the ones. And I think that's pretty amazing just for him. So I think it's still an open playing field, though. Harsin did say in his conference after the first scrimmage that there was, you know, some separation with quarterbacks. And I think that's a very good thing because we're 3 weeks away, less than 3 weeks now away from the first game. I feel like there should be separation. And I don't know. I would love for the quarterback to be named, honestly, in like a week, maybe 2 weeks tops. Because then that truly gives you, it probably will be. Now, will they make that public? I don't know what Harsin's kind of policy on that is and what he normally does, but, you know, that's the way it kind of goes. So, Jared, quarterbacks, what are you kind of overall feeling for that?
Oh, is that something to talk about there? I didn't even know. I thought we had our quarterback settled. I didn't know anything was going on.
It's Bo Nix, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. All right. Yeah. That could get, that's pretty polarizing. That could be a podcast. First off, I owe you a Starbucks. Yes. Calzada was, I like the little, yes. I picture the guy from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes. Where I was actually doing that.
Okay. Okay. Calzada was not named starter before fall camp. So I owe you a Starbucks. And Calzada may not be named starter ever. Which is kind of blowing my mind, to be honest
yeah.
with you. I mean, we're talking about a guy who has SEC experience, as does TJ. But we're talking about a guy that, I mean, what did A&M went 8-4 or something? They had a pretty good year. He was the reason they beat Alabama, in mm-hmm. my opinion. He was making throws left and right. And I think everybody thought he was just going to come in and, you know, take over. And he hasn't done that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means. I think at this moment, I think I've said on this podcast, there's zero chance TJ Finley is our starter. At this point, I would say it's probably more likely he starts against Mercer.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on the TJ Finley just because I know he can be consistent, but that doesn't always mean consistently good. And I was honestly hoping Zach Calzada would just be like this, you know, spark that would just ignite this offense. And from the reports we've been getting, I'm not necessarily hearing that, which is a little disappointing. Now Calzada 3 weeks from now could legitimately be our starter, but the only real quarterback that looked like a quote unquote SEC quarterback was TJ Finley. And
yeah, that was from somebody inside the building, apparently.
Yeah.
I think we heard. Yeah. Somebody said that he was the only one that even looked like he belonged on an SEC team.
Which is, again, weird because Zach Calzada was on an SEC team at Texas A&M.
Yeah. In my mind, this has to be Zach missed spring ball and had surgery. And maybe we're downplaying that. I mean, the effect maybe. That had, I guess. I mean, here's the deal. It doesn't matter. He's either ready or not, right? So it's like, this isn't Zach Calzada University. It's Auburn. Like, we got to put somebody out there. But if you're talking about why hasn't Zach won it, that could be the reason. And I will say this, too. I don't know where I heard this, but somebody said, look, these scrimmages and stuff, these are really for the coaches. So sometimes coaches put players in easier positions and put others in more difficult to see how they handle it.
Mm.
So you know, we won't know if all things were equal, right? We don't know if the play calling was done differently. We don't know if it was like, hey, just do this one read, or the other one's like, hey, I need you to go through all your reads. We have no idea what they were told. But only the coaches know that. It's kind of like the backup quarterback mentality, right? So everybody always gets excited about the backup because it's an unknown. I think we were all excited about Calzada or Ashford because it's an unknown.
Yeah.
I feel like we know TJ's ceiling. And personally, if it is TJ, I've lowered my expectations a little bit for the season. But maybe TJ has improved. That's always possible. It happened with Jason Campbell, in my opinion. So who knows, man? I just would not – if obviously I put a Starbucks on it, which is – what are those going for, $50 now?
Hey, inflation, man.
Yeah, inflation. So I put a lot of money on it, and that's how confident I was it would not be TJ. But here we sit.
Hey, Auburn fans. I want to take a quick timeout from this episode to bring your attention to something very special. Here at the E2C Network, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best content for Auburn fans out there. And best of all, it's free to you. But just because it's free doesn't mean there aren't costs, especially when you have a library of hundreds of podcasts, videos, blogs, and more. Many of you have reached out and asked how you can support this network in the past. Well, now I have your answer. It's called the E2C Network Booster Club over at patreon.com/E2C Network. There you'll find a membership monthly reward system where you can sign up for as little as $1 and get different perks at different tiers. Some of those perks include things such as apparel, eligibility to join us on future podcasts, recognition as an E2C Network booster, exclusive communications, and bonus content that is available nowhere else. If you love this network and want to help us keep producing podcasts like this one, please head on over to patreon.com/E2C Network to join the E2C Network Booster Club. You can also get there by going to our website, e2cnetwork.com/support. Whether you decide to join or not, we are still so appreciative that you would support us by just listening and being here, because each and every one of you is part of our E2C Network family. Well, that's it. Timeout's over. Let's get back into the episode.
Either of those I'd be fine with. And I think you would too, to some extent. Now, does it mean, like, I legitimately think if TJ is our quarterback, he can win us a few games, but he's not, at least so far, hasn't shown me that, you know, the last minute of the game really needs to win, kind of, you know, that, you know, extra thing that like a leader at quarterback needs to have. And that's the only question mark in my mind. I think, well, and then you can sometimes just miss short passes, and that's really annoying. We saw that a lot last year, and you're like, dude, it's like a 10-yard pass. It's not that hard. It's like playing catch in the backyard. It's not that hard. And yet he can't make that. So I think those are the two in my mind. But again, back to like the Zach Calzada thing. You know, we jumped on the Calzada hype train pretty quickly because, you know, why not? It's the unknown. And on top of that, you know, Calzada's his quarterback coach was, you know, posting some videos of him practicing this summer, and they looked really good. They really did. And who's to say, you know, TJ wasn't doing the same thing, just, you know, not on social media, you know, his coach posting it there. So I don't know. Like, that's where I'm kind of at with it. Like, I like TJ. If he's our quarterback, I think I'm going to have a little slightly tempered expectations. Calzada has a little bit of that question mark of a it factor potentially. I don't know. It could be real interesting
from a likability standpoint and you know, stuff like that. I absolutely have no problem with it being TJ. From a on the field product, from what we saw last year, it does not excite me. And you know, I think it's really the consistency thing you talked about, but to be honest with you, I don't know if Zach has that. We have zero clue what Robbie has.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. I still think at the end of the day, who, in my opinion, unless this person's just terrible, I'm going with the dude that throws the most accurate deep ball, because I still think that's how you win ball games in the SEC, to go over the top. So, you know, you may have to deal with a little 50% overall completion percentage, but if you can throw the deep ball better than the other guy,
yeah,
I'm rolling with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we haven't really talked about Robbie Ashford, but so that's where it's always hard because he's a little bit more of a mobile quarterback. I mean, think about back to kind of our typical running quarterbacks, you know, Cam Newton and Nick Marshall in the last, you know, 15 years. Both of them, we didn't really know preseason before, you know, the 2010 or 2013 season what they really had. And Robbie Ashford could come out there. We play him in one of our kind of, you know, first or second games where we're not playing a whole lot of, you know, really hard games. And you put him out there and he performs really highly. Maybe he gets a few series in a bigger game and then shows out because he's got this breakaway speed or whatever it is. I mean, from what I saw at A-Day, he looked very agile and fast. I think those are two combinations that I would love to see. I don't think that necessarily wins him the position at starting quarterback, but it potentially gets him some playing time, you know, at a wildcat, you know, throw him in there. He's a legit running threat, but he can also pass. You know, the defense has to respect that. So that's the way I'm kind of thinking about Robbie Ashford. I think he's just got a more defined, you know, role in this offense. All right, so the wide receivers, they're kind of this. I like the depth. They seem to have that. And we even have some senior leaders like Shedrick Jackson, who Harsin even called out after the scrimmage for having a great catch. There's been others, like even one of the more exciting ones to me is Coy Moore, who caught a touchdown pass. That's kind of for me. You know, we've got more depth there. I'm personally really excited about that. And not to mention, you know, our boy Camden Moore or Camden Brown, who I think could be one of the best when they come out of Auburn. As long as they stay here, they could be legitimately probably one of the best wide receivers to come out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we got a lot of depth and we have some guys that can be number ones. I don't know that we had a guy last year where like that guy could be a number one.
Yeah,
I think this year Coy Moore could be. By the end of the year, Camden Brown might could be. Who knows about the other guys stepping up that were here last year? I think Shedrick Jackson is definitely more of that possession type guy. He's going to run the perfect route. You can trust him. So I think that's going to continue to be his role. But all in all, you know, somebody I hadn't really heard about though, AJ, that's surprising is Landon King.
Yeah, I mean, he switched over from, you know, tight end to wide receiver. I haven't heard a whole lot from him. From the practices, he was kind of working with the twos or the threes. And my guess is he's just kind of getting acclimated. But he's such a big body that, I mean, I hope he could potentially, you know, break into that, you know, first or second string and get some legit play time.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I think that, I mean, just, you know, he came from practice squad to becoming kind of a cult-like hero for the receiving core, which even though he was a tight end, yeah, everybody loved him. He had some big plays last year. He had great catches in the Iron Bowl. So I think you're right. I think it's probably just moving positions. There's way – we think all that's simple. It's not simple.
And no.
So, yeah, I think it's probably just learning. It's a whole different route tree that you're trying to run.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And for him, he's a big enough guy. He could play tight end, but now he's trying to kind of fit into that wide receiver mold a little bit more. And yeah, you know, that takes time. And hey, it may take him a little bit of time even throughout the season before we really start seeing the emergence of Landon King. Another group that we've heard, you know, pretty good things about has been the running backs. So, you know, obviously Tank and Jarquez, they're still getting high praise. They're doing what they're supposed to, which is expected. I mean, they've now played under Harsin for a year. And I think both of them in some ways were part of the reason we won some of those games because they did what they had to. They got down and dirty. And, you know, that's what you have to do at the running back position. But a new guy, get ready to start hearing his name. Damari Alston, freshman, ended up scoring two touchdowns during the scrimmage. he's still going to be behind Tank and Drekles. But watch out for him and get used to Damari Alston. You're going to be screaming his name when he's scoring that touchdown this year. He will score some touchdowns. Making that prediction right now.
Want to put a star, but I'm kidding. I mean, I can't lose another one. I can't lose another one.
I mean, I'm one for one right now. So. Batting a thousand.
Yeah, I think you can't keep up with everybody, right? And Alston's one of those guys that also came in late. You know, he wasn't able to get here in the spring. So yeah, he enrolled later. So, you know, he's playing catch up, and to be playing catch up and to have two touchdowns in the first scrimmage, that's pretty good. And you know, he was like one of the top. I think Harsin, when he came to the podium, I think he basically was like Camden and DeMario.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty impressive because those are true freshmen. And I heard somebody say they kind of, all right, it's great. He scored touchdowns, but what happened? Well, they said number one, he has breakaway speed.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah, we hadn't had that. I mean, as much as I love Tank can get caught from behind. DeMario, breakaway speed, and they said he was hitting the hole. It was like a one cut, hit the hole, take off. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. I could foresee a way he takes the quote-unquote number two spot maybe by the end of the year.
Hmm.
Only reason I say that is we don't really talk about this much, but Jarquez, most of his productivity came at the first half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing against him. Our O-line wasn't great, but he wasn't as great the second half of the year. I think he's a great running back. I think he'll maintain that number two. But if DeMario keeps doing what he did yesterday or in the scrimmage on Saturday, then, I mean, he'll take the number one. I mean,
yeah.
He had a really good scrimmage.
Yeah, I'm really excited about him. I mean, it's always fun to root for kind of the new face on the block, which is Camden Brown and DeMario Alston. So, you know, both of them right now are, you know, everybody's like, ooh, new names like this. They're doing things. But, again, you know, let's wait and see how he actually does, especially against, you know, top level.
Yeah, right. You got to do it against the with the lights on and the playing against a real legit defense. So yeah, we'll see. But if that continues, he's gonna get some playing time.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's transition a little bit to defense, and then we'll finish out pretty briefly with special teams. So defense. So we had a few pretty big plays. We ended up having definitely one credited sack from Ekuleta, and Harsin ended up saying Derek Hall probably had one or two sacks. It was non-contact, so it's kind of hard to, you know, judge whether or not they actually were sacks. But, you know, again, kind of showing, you know, that's where the defensive line is at, which I'm very excited about. A couple other guys, Owen Papo, he is back. You know, he's for most of last season ended up, you know, he had that lower body injury, and, you know, it took him a while, a lot longer than probably even he thought to recover. But Harsin mentioned he was like, he's looking like he's back to normal. And I think that is a great thing for Auburn, because a healthy Owen Papo is just great for our defense. There is a big, you know, think about the times we even had, you know, Zacoby McClain out last year and how many times, you know, that hurt us as soon as they came in.
Georgia State.
I know.
We give up 24 points in the first half. He comes in, we give up zero.
Exactly. Like, and that's my point. Like, Owen Papo is that difference maker. He's a big guy. He can do it. One other kind of fun defensive play that happened was at the very end of the scrimmage. And Craig McDaniel, he's the Iowa State transfer. It was about a 90-95 yard scoop and score touchdown. So you love to see that. And apparently it was one of the linebackers that punched the ball out, and then he just scooped it up. And I think it was Cam Riley,
if I'm not mistaken.
Cool.
No, it may have been. I'm sorry. All right. So we got Papo. Excuse me. We got Papo, Cam Riley. Who's the other guy? Steiner or Wesley Steiner?
Yeah, I think it is Steiner. And Steiner got some
pumped it out.
Yeah, Steiner got some. Yeah, he got some good props too.
I think he might have been the one that caused the fumble. The more I think about it.
Cool. So I think that's pretty exciting. Let's finish it out with special teams here. So The only kind of thing we really heard about special teams was Anders Carlson. And you mentioned he went 4 for 4, which I think is great considering, you know, he just had ACL surgery and now is back. And I think that's a great thing for us. I mean, we do have, what is it? I'm going to mess up. Is it Evan McPherson?
McPherson. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. He was the number one kicker out of high school.
Yeah. We do have him. But I'll be kind of curious to see how they kind of handle this. Do they, because Anders isn't 100%, maybe give kickoffs to Evan, and then you give only place kicking and maybe PATs to Anders?
Save his life. I would definitely limit Anders, you know, what he's having to do. But, you know, I don't – my coaching ability is limited to EA Sports on the Xbox. Me too. So, yeah. Yeah. Nobody will ever pay me $50, much less $50 million to coach. But yeah, I would definitely limit it to, especially when you got a guy like, you know, Evan, because he's, like I said, he's obviously got a leg. He was the number one kicker in America. And we've mentioned it before. People may not realize his brother is the one for the Bengals, right?
Right. Yeah.
For the Bengals, and who infamously stayed out during the halftime show. And
oh, yeah.
That became a thing, but he didn't go back with his team. But yeah, anyways, you know, all in all, that was good for Anders because you don't ever – I mean, obviously kicking. I don't – which – was it his plant leg? I don't even know which one he had ACL surgery on.
Not 100% sure.
Okay. But, yeah, either way, you need both of them, both legs to kick. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. So, for him to go out and go 4 for 4, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Really excited about that. We'll kind of see as this fall camp plays out, you know, kick returns, punt returners, that still TBD as far as I'm aware. So – Jared, before we get out of here, how can the people stay in touch with you?
You can find me on Facebook under my name, Jared Davis.
And you can find me on Twitter at @JAYJAY_. It's always great to be an Auburn Tiger and War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode on the E2C Network. On your way out, I want to remind you to stop by E2CNetwork.com. It's your one-stop shop for all our content across our podcast, YouTube channel, and much more. To stay up to date with us, make sure you're following social media accounts such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. While our content here may always be Auburn sports heavy, if it's orange and blue, it's what we do. War Eagle.